Coming up, hurricanes, dragnets, and of course, Sarah Palin on OA Conversations on the Conversations Network. This is Charles Lane, PRX election curator, back with another interesting moment from the 2008 campaign trail.
By becoming a paid member, you'll help keep the nonprofit Conversations Network on the air, and you'll have access to our premium edition programs without promotional messages. Just click on the Join button on our website to learn more. Our audio files are delivered by Limelight Networks, the high-performance content delivery network for digital media.
And now, another edition of Campaign 08. The 2008 Republican convention got off to a rocky start last week when Hurricane Gustav swept up through the Gulf of Mexico, just as Katrina did almost exactly 3 years ago. John Rudolph, with Feet in Two Worlds, was in St. Paul getting a feel from the delegates.
Can you tell me your name and where you're from?
Chris Daniel, youngest elected official in Texas, from Houston.
What about the political implications of this? Does this slow down the campaign, the McCain campaign, or the Republican efforts to stay in the White House? Does it help Senator McCain?
It actually will help us because of the fact that we are focusing on a greater job than trying to just appeal to the American voter. We're getting the actual job done, which is the purpose of being a public servant.
I was just speaking to another delegate from Georgia who was saying that it might be a good thing that President Bush and Vice President Cheney aren't speaking tomorrow because it would allow the party to make a break and show that it's breaking from the policies of the current administration, which are, as we know, not very highly regarded in many of the polls.
Public relations-wise, that is correct. While the president does not have the constitutional authority to do much, because it is vested into the governor and to the mayor of New Orleans and wherever it hits, PR-wise, it is necessary that they stand ready so that when the governor or the mayor calls them, they can declare a national emergency and come in with the National Guard.
But what I'm asking you would you agree with this other delegate that it might be a good thing that the president actually doesn't speak to the convention?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Any other questions?
No.
Outside the convention hall, marches took to the streets, protesting against war, Bush, and the Republican Party. There was relatively little violence. However, Jess Medore of Minnesota Public Radio reports that local police made over 400 arrests.
Outside the Ramsey County Law Enforcement Center last night, hundreds of people stood anxiously waiting for friends and loved ones to be released. Some lit candles and sang songs, standing across the street from a line of riot police on horseback. Anita Betancourt was there, waiting for her 19-year-old daughter, who was taken into custody outside the XL Energy Center Monday. Betancourt remembers her daughter describing the scene on the phone.
They just, you know, shot me and arrested me. I was just standing there, you know. Everything, all of a sudden, everything was just a chaos around me, she said. And they started pushing and shooting people and the gas and pepper spray and all that stuff.
Betancourt's son is serving in Iraq. She says that's why her daughter made the trip from Mankato to St. Paul to protest the war and call for the troops to come home. Now she worries about how the arrest will affect her.
I wish everything would have just been peaceful and the cops would have been more careful of who they were arresting and shooting at before they did that, because it seems like they were just charging at everybody.
With one more day of the convention to go, St. Paul has already doubled the number of arrests made in Denver during the Democratic National Convention. Attorney Matthew Lute has handled more than a dozen cases of people arrested this week. He says the police caught a lot of innocent people up in the net as they attempted to target troublemakers.
Not only were they trying to keep demonstrators, protesters, people who want to get their message across off the streets, as well as anybody that would have been violently doing so, they swept up everybody else, which was bystanders as well as journalists.
Lute says many of his clients were arrested on inflated charges so they could be held longer. He also says they were denied the opportunity to make phone calls during their 36-hour custody. Officials with the Ramsey County Sheriff's Office deny those accusations. A spokeswoman says the department went out of its way to provide services for detainees and even installed extra phones in the detention center for the RNC. Of the more than 300 arrests earlier this week, authorities issued charges for 16 felonies and 47 gross misdemeanors. The rest were either cited for misdemeanors and released, released pending further investigation, or just let go. A number of journalists were among those arrested this week. Chicago-based freelance photographer Nathan Weber was swept up as he covered a street protest near the XL Energy Center for an independent photo agency called Trifecta Press Photo. He says he identified himself as a member of the press, but says the police beat him and threw him to the ground before arresting him.
Once I was on the ground, I received a couple of blows to the back of the head, which busted my forehead and side of my face up. They just had like knees in my back and were telling me not to resist, and I wasn't resisting. I was trying to cooperate, but I think under the heat and the pressure of, you know, what was going on, that it was kind of a, you know, taking a prisoner's sort of attitude with the police. It didn't matter if you said you were pressed. It didn't matter what you said. You know, you were going to jail.
Weber says he's angry the cops arrested him when he was just trying to do his job. But former prosecutor Chris Wachler says it's not easy for police in the heat of the moment to separate members of the media and innocent bystanders from protesters. Wachler is an attorney who works with the Minneapolis and St. Paul police unions and the Law Enforcement Labor Services Union. He says making distinctions is even tougher for cops during a big event like the RNC.
We've got a bad element in town, and anytime that happens, unfortunately, it's going to create a situation where there's going to be collateral damage, if you will, or collateral activity, and it's unfortunate that that happens.
He says cops will come under fire no matter how well they handle themselves.
If you're a cop, you live with that, and you know that that's going to be the case going into this, and that's part of your job, but it's one of those jobs where, you know, it's sort of like being the coach of the Vikings. Everybody's got an opinion, and everybody knows better than you do when the day is done. Yet they aren't the ones who have to live, stand in your shoes, and do what you have to do. And it's an incredibly difficult job.
Wachler says Twin Cities law enforcement trained for years for the RNC. Considering the high-profile nature of the event and the number of people in town this week, he says they did a great job. Jess Mador, Minnesota Public Radio News, St. Paul.
But the star of the Republican convention was Sarah Palin. She wowed Republicans and even stunned most Democrats with 36 minutes of hometown charm. If you couldn't sit through her speech last time, or you just want to relive it again, we will close this week's episode with a one-minute abridged version of her speech.
And as the mother of one of those troops, that is exactly the kind of man I want as commander-in-chief. Our son Track is 19. My nephew Casey also enlisted. Bristol and Willow and Piper. Perfectly beautiful baby boy named Trig. And that's how it is with us. Our family has the same ups and downs as any other. And Todd is a story all by himself. A world champion snow machine racer. Snow machine racer. Snow machine racer. And we met in high school, and 2 decades and 5 children later, he's still my guy. My mom and dad both worked at the elementary school in our small town. We grow good people in our small towns. I've been a small town. But in small towns, small town mayor is... I was mayor of my hometown. I was just your average hockey mom and signed up for the PTA. I love those hockey moms. You know, they say the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull? Lipstick.
You've been listening to another program from 08 Conversations.
By becoming a paid member, you'll help keep the Nonprofit Conversations Network on the air, and you'll have access to our premium edition programs without promotional messages. Just click on the Join button on our website to learn more. Our audio files are delivered by Limelight Networks, the high-performance content delivery network for digital media. The post-production audio engineer for this program was Charles Lane. Our website editor was Joel Cherney. The series producer is Joel Cherney.
I hope you'll join us next time to hear more interesting sound from the campaign trail on 08 Conversations from the Conversations Network. If you can't wait, visit prx.org. For the Public Radio Exchange, I'm Charles Lane.